This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bradley Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He served in politics as a national security advisor to members of the Senate Armed Services and Foreign Relations Committees, as well as teaching at West Point, and he flew a Black Hawk. All those things, of course, qualify him eminently to talk about growing a war, because that is the risk, escalation. Right now, the escalation is turning on whether these or that weapon system is going to be shipped to Ukraine, or whether Vladimir Putin's forces are using these or that weapon system from the Caspian Sea or other missile firing into Ukraine. However, the additional front that looks to be talked about is the Black Sea Basin, Odessa, where the grain fleet is blockaded. And over these last days, there has been open conversation in media, both in Europe and here, about warships mounting a rescue effort of that grain fleet. Brad, I'm reminded that the original presumption was that Russia meant to take not only Donbass and Kyiv, but also the Black Sea coastline of Ukraine, perhaps stretching into Moldova, for example, all along there. We prepared in those early days, I remember us mentioning it, for an amphibious landing on or around Odessa. Odessa was ready for it. It didn't happen. However, now they're discussing rescuing the grain fleet. Your measure of this, is this a practical way to go forward, to use warships in the Black Sea Basin, knowing the number of anti-ship missiles the Russians can fire?
You know, John, it's a serious question. It's a serious idea. You know, I just setting the table a little bit very quickly. You know, if you look at a map, it's important for listeners to note that Putin now controls the vast majority of Ukraine's coastline, the vast majority. And it's really just the area of Odessa and a little bit on each side of it that Ukraine still retains control of. I mean, Putin now has his much discussed, much coveted land bridge between Russia and Crimea with the fall of Mariupol. You know, the world is confronting a potential food crisis, because we know that Ukraine has long been a leading exporter of grain. And so I certainly understand the desire to take extraordinary measures to see if we can get some of that Ukrainian grain exported around the world. That would help Ukraine, and that would help mitigate this food crisis that we're seeing emerge. But, you know, my thinking on this begins in some of the same places as the discussion a couple months ago about a no-fly zone. You have to consider what has the United States been trying to do from the beginning here, just at the highest level? We've been trying to provide as much help as possible to Ukraine because of our interests and values, while avoiding a direct conflict with Russia. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the grand strategy we've been trying to implement. Now, if you're going to do some sort of armed, create some sort of, first of all, you're going to have to demine it, right? You're going to have to create a path through the waters where you don't have these vessels hitting floating mines or mines just below the surface. And then you're going to have to escort these vessels. And so it's almost a maritime version of a no-fly zone, is that it's difficult to contemplate that if you're not willing to potentially have naval warfare against Russian forces to protect our vessels getting in there, escorting these ships and getting them out. So this isn't me saying no, you know, no way, no how, shouldn't even think about it. But I'm just saying, let's be very clear about what we're talking about. You have to potentially be willing to engage Russian vessels if you're going to do something like this. And that is a very serious thing given the adversary we're talking about here.
My concern is the wider war, Brad. And your measure of this, because we both follow it from different vantage points. Is this war growing in your measure, these first 100 days? Are we looking at a battlefield that could grow into the Balkans, grow into the Black Sea Basin, grow into the Mediterranean?
You know, the primary concern from the beginning is that Putin would look to invade or encroach upon NATO territory. He has not done that. I suspect, and can't prove, but I suspect that Putin has been surprised by the unity and strength of the NATO response. And so that's the primary escalation that I've been keeping an eye on that I'm happy has not happened yet. He's got lots of red lines. We've stepped over some of them. He's got lots of threats. I think generally speaking, he, at least for now, he's going to be very reluctant to mess with NATO because he's got his hands full with Ukraine. And NATO would be more than he could handle. But, you know, there's also the discussions of weapons mass destruction. So I've always got my eye on escalation. It could take a number of forms. But right now, the escalation I'm most concerned about, that is between Russia and NATO. We're okay on that front. But
30 seconds, but, Brad. Go ahead.
But it could change quickly.
Bradley Bowman mentions Eisenhower's address to the D-Day forces broadcast about 3 o'clock in the morning. New York time, early in the morning in London. Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, speaks General Eisenhower, the commander-in-chief of the Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force. You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940 to 41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage and devotion to duty and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. Dwight David Eisenhower, June 6, 1944. Bradley Bowman is the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.